Good morning, Patriots. I was thinking this morning, as we were kids, and hopefully we all had a good relationship at some point with our parents, but there is that moment when you can tell by the look, or maybe it's the way that they call your name, you just know you did something wrong. You're like, oh, yep, here it goes. And you know the minute when you hear it, you're trying to figure a way out. Your mind is quickly like, okay, let me see, what am I going to say? What is it that I did? And if you knew what you did, then you're immediately starting to calculate all the different options here. And maybe there's a way I won't get my fanny whacked. Maybe there's something I can say. Maybe I can blame it on my brother or my sister. Yeah, there's all sorts of things going on. And the reason that we end up there is because we knew that there were rules. And maybe as adults, we don't necessarily agree with those rules or we reflect differently on them. But as a child, we knew that there were rules. And we knew that we had crossed those rules. And like I said, hopefully they were good rules. I mean, that can also be pretty much a nightmare for a child that is dealing with an abusive parent. And that's not what we're focusing on today. I bring that up because God has rules. And we should be in a place when we cross those rules that we immediately begin to wonder what we're going to do now. To feel that sense of, oh, yeah, we did it. God's going to be upset. Let me begin with Psalm 38. I'm going to begin, and we'll just read down, starting with 1 and go down a bit. But I want you to keep that in mind, what I just opened with here, this idea. And it begins with, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. From Scripture, we can tell that there was a time when the idea of crossing the Lord and crossing the path of the Lord's rules would bring about some sort of response. At least there was a belief that it would. In this day and age, we have fallen so far away in our relationship to God that there's no sense there's any consequence. In fact, it kind of goes like this. Oh, yeah, heck. Shouldn't have done that. Yeah, I know it's a sin. Did it anyway. Couldn't resist. That's all right. Gotta let it go. I'll just ask for forgiveness, and it's all good. And then we'll start back over. That kind of coy attitude, unfortunately, is in everybody. Not just a few, not just those on the other side of the aisle taking the magic injection. That's an attitude that we've all had. And it's an attitude that we all have to correct. We need to return to reclaiming the fear of the Lord in our life. And that isn't, and we rebuke that a bit. And I can guarantee you that there's very few, if any, people left that say that that's a good thing. Be like, fear of the Lord. I don't want to fear anything. I'm fine. I'm not going to be afraid of the Lord. We might want to be just a little bit. Because when we have that sort of healthy fear, which is a deep respect and love, then when we make those mistakes, it's like being called by your parent. Especially when they throw in your middle name. You knew it's, you're in trouble then. You hear your first name, you hear the middle name that they never use, and then they hear the last name, the family name. And it's all three together. And you're like, oh, okay, this is not going to go well. That's where we need to be with the Lord. And if we could get ourselves back to that point, and it isn't like you have to sit in front of the mirror and say, okay, now when I do something wrong, I'm going to start shaking. And then maybe that's exactly what we need to do. But there is an accountability to all things, and we live in this age of accountability. And when we're meandering along and bumping into things and acting like there's no consequence, or, you know, like, oh, darn, made some mistakes. Look, we all do this. And when we do this and we brush it off, we're not living in a place of accountability. We're just making accountability as like an afterthought. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that one. But I did. Okay, well, what are you going to do to me, Lord? I'm asking for forgiveness, and according to the way I see things now, Christ died for my sins, so we're all good. Don't worry about it. Thanks, Christ. Appreciate you getting nailed up there on that cross for me. You know, what the heck? And I know that homeless person that didn't have any food and needed a coat and it was freezing. And I know I walked by and told them to go jump off a cliff, and I didn't care. But I didn't mean it. Seriously, I promise I won't do it next time. That's not what we were intended to be. Our part of this whole relationship is accountability, but it's also embracing a way of living that we live with such reverence and respect for God that it is a big deal when we step across the line. And it's not that suddenly you have to say, go out and do what, man, there's some crazy people in the world too. That's why I say this. It's not like you have to go out in the garage and start making up a set of metal chains with razor edges on them and start walking around and whipping your back or something, so you end up with a raw flesh or something like that. But it's a process of how we live. And it's a process of how we accept. The responsibility and the relationship that we have with God. Because if we are going to make mistakes, there is no question about that. We are going to stumble. There is no question about that. And I guarantee you, every one of us, in one way or another, and I guarantee this, every one of us, if we look hard at ourselves and we don't have to stand in public and have a testimony, there's going to be some little thing that we do, and we do it over and over, and we keep doing the same dumb thing. And it's part because whatever that thing is, it's either we don't really want to give it up, or we just kind of do it because it's the way you've been, and it's just kind of like, well, it's my nature, and I'll do the best I can. There's something in there that we keep redoing. And in that process, it's the same story. Well, I shouldn't have, but okay, whatever. Those are the ones. Those are the things to dig out. Those are the items that we do that we have to come to God with and be accountable for and talk through and pray about to dig out what that is within us. And some, it doesn't mean it's going away tomorrow either, but it's the process of building that accountability within us to start to openly acknowledge that, to come to God, and to pray for a guidance away from that. Maybe it's secret binge eating or whatever other nefarious tasks we can come up with. Maybe somebody is one and makes promises but doesn't deliver. Whatever these things are, but we keep doing it over and over. When we get to the core of those things, we're getting into the core of some of the bigger holes and gaps within us, the emptiness. We're doing it for a reason. It's not because it's just our nature. No, there's something there. Maybe it's an early childhood scar that we're trying to cover up. Maybe it's a perspective of our own way of seeing ourselves. We truly don't truly love who we are that God gave us, and instead we're trying to fill that with something or cover that feeling of ineptitude or the feeling of longing or loss or emptiness with some sort of action. But we have to find our way through those moments, and to get there, once we start to identify those holes in ourselves, and we start to realize how we're trying to fill them, call it the mortar of sin, that's pretty much what we're doing, is we've got these gaps in our wall, in our makeup, and consider yourself like this amazing compilation of unique and very strong bricks, but there's holes in there. And instead of trying to put another brick in or trying to strengthen the whole thing, we're just like, oh, I'll just fill it. And if you're a cheap renter, by the way, in this space, you're not going to fill it with a mortar either. You're going to use toothpaste. Have you ever seen that trick? How are we going to fill the holes in the wall? Just get some toothpaste. The landlord will never know. Put a little toothpaste on the wall, and then, like, let's get out of here quick, and we'll still get our deposit back. That's really what we end up doing. And we all have to take some accountability here, because I guarantee you there isn't one person, and I'm saying myself included, that we aren't doing something and we're trying to find a way out of it going, I'll just fill the holes with the toothpaste and I swear the landlord won't notice and I'll still get my deposit back. And I'm still going to heaven, so don't worry about it. It isn't about that. I sort of sometimes there's going to be like this, I'm making this up to be clear, because I always say these things because about the middle of the time I'm ready to crack a joke, someone's going to be like, that is not in scripture. You made that up. And it's like, I sure did. So how about this? I'll tell you up front that I'm making it up. Then you can't accuse me of that. So here's, but I swear, I think sometimes there's going to be this front end receiving place and it's going to be like, oh, I made it. And everybody's, we're going to be looking around going, what goes on here? They're going to be like, well, it's the holding area. It's like, what do you mean, man? I made it to heaven. Yeah, you did. I want to get in the gates. It's like, it's not going to happen that way. Well, why not? Dude, come on. Look at yourself. Can you see that you're, oh, yeah, I know I did. I kind of lived a not-so-holy life, but I figured that Christ died for my sins. It's like, yeah? And now you got to correct all those problems. So what we understand here is it might be a while, like maybe 100 years or so of hanging out here in this concentration camp. There's some good food. Get a cot, we can see where we're going. It looks like a really beautiful place we're headed, but we got a little work to do. Like, I don't know. But I mean, that's kind of, let me just put it this way. If we ended up like that, it sure as heck wouldn't surprise me, and it sure as heck wouldn't be well earned. There's no reason for us to live in such a way that we don't have a solid respect and fear of God. We aren't to walk around with a yoke of guilt around our neck. We leave that for the realms of churches and controlling of the masses to turn them into willful slaves and hand puppets for the priests and pastors. That's a game I don't play. But our relationship with God is one of huge responsibility. And in so doing and in so living that way, we as children of God have to have the respect for God to come to Him, to be honest, and not just to pass over the things that we do, but to now have those honest and transparent conversations that say, look, this is what I'm doing. This is what I've done. Guide me in how you want me to rectify that problem. Because in a very certain sense, we have to be not only the responsible agent of doing the action that we shouldn't have done, but we have to become honest as if we are also the parent to the child doling out the punishment. And I don't know that, depending on what we've done, but I don't see that God necessarily doles out a punishment of a switch. That always sucked too. When I was young, it's like, oh, not that one. It's on top of the refrigerator. No, not that one. And yet sometimes maybe that's exactly what it takes. We truly have that accountability in our life. And it's something that's not really an option, though we think it is. Again, not to hold your head with the yoke of guilt, instead to hold your head high, knowing that when you make a mistake, you are going to be accountable. Boldly, and accept what it needs to be. You're going to put that before God in prayer. To be honest in your heart, we all, not just you, we all being honest in our heart, to say, look, this is where I am. This is what I have done. And I'm aware of it. And if it's something, again, that we need help on, then take it to God. But don't try to brush it under the rug. And don't try to excuse it off. Because all things are known. It's not like you're going to hide it. It's like, wait a minute, I was in the back of the backyard when I did that. How did you know? It's like, God's like, did you really think I'm not watching? I mean, seriously. I remember when I was a kid in the backyard and I was throwing rocks, okay? And I was doing these spinning around and throwing rocks. So then I throw this rock. I'm like, oh, I got this. And of course, where'd the rock go? The little rock goes right into the window and it breaks a hole in one of the lower, there was the upper panes, and then there were two little slider lower panes. And of course, it punches a hole. And it happened to be a window that was behind one of the chairs in the living room. So being a very innovative young man, I figured that if I could move the chair over a little bit, it would go unnoticed, which it did for a little while. But there's an amazing thing of cold air coming into a room. And then it's like, well, how'd this happen? And of course you hear my name. And I'm like, you're kind of doing, you can imagine it. You know how it's going. You're kind of sitting there looking up at the ceiling. I don't know. It's like, well, look, there's only one person that's been throwing rocks outside, unless you think it's a burglar that managed to come in here and, like, take a little ball peen hammer and punch a hole in the window and then run away. And, of course, you come clean in the end, but, yeah. Oh, I'll tell you, kids, we all had it. And we can laugh about it now, and it wasn't enjoyable then. But I think the biggest part of those instances that stays with me wasn't I had great parents, and there's only a couple of times I got in a really bad amount of trouble. One of them was playing with matches like inside the house when they weren't there. That's kind of a bad thing. You're kind of like, yeah, you could have burned the house down. And there was good reason. There were some consequences of those sorts of things that as a child you didn't understand, but you sure as heck understood it after Dad was a little more than upset. But it was the place of the feeling of knowing that you had done something wrong and now you've been called out. And you knew part of that because as a child, you know instinctively that you should have just come forward and said the truth. You should have just come to Mom and Dad and said, look, I just threw a rock and I'm really sorry. But it broke the window. And you know the reaction's not going to be good. It's not going to be like, oh, good son. You know, they're going to be like, oh, what did you do? Be something like that. But instead of, now, you kind of go through this place of, I don't want to hear that. I'm going to try to slide it under the rug. So adjusting the chair to cover the window doesn't solve the broken window. It doesn't solve it at all. In fact, it just makes it worse when it is found. And all along, all he had to do was tell the truth. And I think that's right where all this brings us. If we're honest with God, as we would be with our parents as a child, or as we would expect our children to be honest with us, we know that life is a lot easier, even though there are moments. We know that as imperfect as we are, because we all are, we try hard and we don't always succeed in being giving temperance to our children as we would, as our parents try to do with us, each within their own time. But there's also a firmness of discipline that has to happen in one fashion or another, not a simple conversation of rationalism. It's not like, okay, well, there is a way through that as parenting. The one way perhaps is better than another. But there's also just an understanding that there's some common sense and responsibility in the case of throwing the rocks. Throwing a rock after spinning round and round like a yo-yo or merry-go-round and then slinging a rock and expecting it to land in the proper place, and then especially in a small backyard, which was in that particular house, we had a small backyard. There was some common sense stuff that kind of had to be called out. Like, where was your head? And God does that. And it doesn't mean that God's going to sit there and pat us on the back and go, well, good job. I'm glad you're repeating that addiction that you've talked to me about 100 times. And oh yeah, I'm sure you'll get better next time. That isn't the way that works. This is where our accountability and being honest with God and listening brings about a way of living that we should feel that ominous sense that we've crossed the line, like a parent that we love. Because in the end of the day, the child loves the parent. And with that, there's a bit of a fear of the retribution. And I don't mean that by pain, but just of the consequence of what we've done. Because we've done something that we knew was wrong. And if we live with that sort of respect with God in our life, knowing very well that we are going to stumble, and understanding that one of the main reasons that Christ sacrificed himself for all of us is so that we would have an avenue to Father. Because we are imperfect. And so in that sense, there is a forgiveness of our sins. But that doesn't mean that with forgiveness comes a lack of accountability. So as we live in that place of being accountable in our lives, let us be bold. Let us walk the path that we claim that we're walking. Let us be honest in front of God, not to hide or try to brush our sins and our inequities under the rug or move the chair in front of the broken spot to try to hope that God doesn't see it. Instead, let's be upfront. Let us identify those things. And in so doing, what happens? We become yet another level of brightness in the world for others to see and witness. We become that place of strength in God and our confidence in all that He brings to know that we are truly in such a wonderful place that each of these steps we're being raised up to a higher level to walk more beautifully in His love and His light. And it's in that place that our faith and our works in faith truly shine so that others can see them and others can be guided by them. And in the end, others can return to Him in His holy name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time each day to reflect very deeply on our path and the way that we walk in this world in our relationship with You. Lord, we are humbled before You, and on this morning in particular, as we reflect on the imperfections that we have in our life and our love and respect for all that You are, we truly humble ourselves before You. We embrace the concept of fearing the living God, the one God. To put ourselves before You, knowing that through You and through our honesty, not only will we heal and grow, but You'll guide us in ways to help us become greater in Your love and Your light. To raise us up to truly be those lanterns on the hill that others can see, to guide themselves away from the darkness to ultimately return to You. We are blessed by all that has been given and all that has been sacrificed for us. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. We have such an amazing world that we live in and such amazing opportunities that God gives us. And the world that we live in truly is one right now that it's fairly easy to point across the aisle. It's fairly easy to point out all of the accusations and the failures that the other side wants to invent to make us look bad. Let's, however, not forget that all of that is the theater and the show, but truly who we are and how we walk in our heart is what God sees. And let's bring that to God in its truest form, in our truest honesty. And as we live truly in and through God, we also continue and grow that truth and strength as we live with ourselves and each other. And as we do that, we are truly setting an example for the many to see and to witness and to show that in living by God's laws, truly living into God's laws and living into the faith and trust we have in Him, that there is a path, a bold path, a narrow path that allows us to choose. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So let us be the few that guides the many. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight and keep your prayers up. Let's pray today as we work through our day and each every day, but let's really focus today on honesty before Lord. Honesty before God in such a way that we are transparent in our heart and accountable for how we live. And in that process, let us rise up to be greater each and every day. Greater as God would want us to be greater. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. In particular, he'll win in the domain of our heart. And that's the most important place of all. I'll be back in about 25 minutes for Federalist Paper number 51, since yesterday we did Scott's rant on Federalist Papers yesterday. It was a good one. But today we'll do Federalist Paper number 51. So until then, or the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your hand in mine. Freedom, the song we're humming. You can't stop the storm from. What the